call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. This segment being brought to you by our friends from Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Robbie Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for Vandy247.com. Robbie, happy new year to your buddy, and as always, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, happy new year to you as well, Johnny. And hey, you know, normally this is a pretty boring time of year for college football, but for Vanderbilt, there's plenty of stuff going on since Clarkley is trying to fill out his staff.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we watch Alabama claim yet another national title on Monday, but this year, the opportunity for the have-nots, it's there with this transfer portal. So it doesn't matter if you did a good enough job or not with recruiting as far as with folks coming in from junior college or from the high school ranks. With 1,900-plus names somewhere in that vicinity as far as in the transfer portal, teams like Vanderbilt or anybody for that matter, the opportunity is there to get that foundation where you want it right now. You don't have to worry about 2 years or 3 years down the road.
100%, and Vanderbilt needs to be active in the transfer market. I think they will be, and they have been already. You know, you think of how many players have transferred out of the program or left the program for whatever reason over, like, the last calendar year. It's a lot of guys when you add up all those names. And so Vanderbilt does have a pretty big freshman class coming in for 2021. But obviously they need some guys who are veteran players, have played ideally at the Power 5 level, and can step in and do something, contribute at least a little bit right away. So it absolutely makes sense for them in particular to really try to mine that transfer portal. And I do expect them to do that. The good thing for them is that all of these guys will probably be eligible for 2021 since the NCAA is expected to change that rule so that the first time you transfer, you can then be eligible immediately.
Robbie, when we think about Clark Lee, you know, right now in the process of putting his staff together, it's just been, you know, his last game with Notre Dame against Alabama in the semifinals on January 1st. It's not so easy to go from that to getting your staff together for, you know, your football program moving forward. What have been the biggest hires you think so far with what he's trying to do? You know, I know, for example, we talk about the operational standpoint, recruiting standpoint, the director of the strength and conditioning. All these things are important. What are some of the things that have stuck out from your mind?
Yes, I mean, certainly, you know, Barton Simmons would be one. I want to, you know, be clear here to listeners. Barton is coming over from 24/7. He's going to be the general manager, which is kind of like a director of player personnel type of role. So, you know, Barton was my coworker, and he was great to work with. Having said that, you know, despite that disclaimer, I do think he's a really interesting choice because he's a big name in the recruiting industry. And, you know, that's sort of an unusual move. Not a lot of big names have gone from 24/7 or Rivals or somewhere like that and joined programs on the recruiting side. I don't think Barton would have really wanted to leave except for, you know, this was a pretty good opportunity in Nashville, his hometown, with, you know, somebody who he goes way back with, having played at Montgomery Ballet Academy with Clark Lee. So I think that's a fascinating move and a really good one for Vanderbilt. I think in terms of position coaches, you know, most of those haven't been announced yet or reported, but I think Justin Lustig from Syracuse is a really interesting one. He will be the assistant head coach, special teams coordinator, and tight ends coach. And if you go back and look at the special teams numbers from Syracuse over the last few years, they're really quite good, which is saying something because Syracuse, other than one 10-win season under Dino Babers, has not been very successful. So I think he's a solid addition because I think Vanderbilt needs to, you know, special teams are an area of the game that they need to win because you need to be well coached in special teams specifically because Vanderbilt is not generally going to have the explosive return men that a lot of these other top SEC schools who are getting lots of 4- and 5-star recruits will get. So I think being well coached on special teams is particularly important.
Is it one of these things too, you know, trying to figure out what he wants to do in offense and defense? Are you trying to establish what you want to do and then get the personnel to be able to deliver, to execute? Or are you going to try to match, you know, the systems to the personnel that you have and are able to be able to attract to Vanderbilt right now.
Right. I think defensively, so I do think there will be an element of kind of adjusting to the personnel that Vanderbilt has right now and then recruiting toward what Clark Lee wants to do in the long term. I do still expect him, though, to bring his 4-2-5 defense to Nashville. That's the indication that I've gotten. And Vanderbilt did play, you know, quite a bit in sort of a 4-2-5-ish alignment defensively this year. The one difference would be that one of the five for Lee's defense is Rover, which is kind of like a linebacker-safety hybrid, whereas when Vanderbilt was playing with four down linemen this season, it was with two linebackers and then four defensive backs and a nickel, who was basically just an extra corner. So it is going to be a little bit different, but I do expect the defense to be similar to what he did at Notre Dame. Offensively will be interesting. I mean, it partly depends on who they hire as the offensive coordinator. I sort of think, you know, I think the way it's going, my prediction there would be Mike Denbrock from Cincinnati. And I do think there probably will be more adjustment to the personnel, I would have to think. Which, you know, is not too terrible, because I actually think Vanderbilt's offensive personnel going forward is quite a bit better than on the defensive side of the ball.
If it's not, I mean, who are some of the other possibilities there? Are you like 99.9% all in as far as the OC position?
Well, so Lee did reportedly interview Dave Canales, who's the passing game coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks. I would be pretty surprised if he ends up being the hire. Now, there could be that, you know, I think the entire process in terms of coaching hires, not a lot has leaked out until these have been finalized. So there could easily be mystery candidates out there. Lee is doing a good job of like keeping this close to the vest and all that. But I don't know. I do think it'll be Denbrock. I would not go like 99.9%, but I think it's like probably over a 50% chance right now. And, you know, the reason why is that he really fits a lot of what Lee, I think, will be looking for in an offensive coordinator, and also really with the rest of his assistant coaches. You know, most of the guys who he's hired so far, he's either worked with in the past or at least is very familiar with. Denbrock was at Notre Dame and left, I think, the year before Clark Lee got there, but there's a lot of mutual friends and acquaintances and stuff like that. And then also, you know, Clark Lee, you would think, would want a veteran play caller, a guy who's experienced and runs a spread offense for his first offensive coordinator at Vanderbilt. And Denbrock definitely is that. He does run a true spread.
Still a go from all indications with Vanderbilt's men's team on the road tomorrow against 10th-ranked Tennessee. I say that because, obviously, the Tuesday night game that was scheduled to play here got postponed. What does Vanderbilt have to do to get a conference win?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that they could use is not having to play Tennessee, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Tennessee is the best team in the SEC, and I just think, yeah, going on the road and winning that game is going to be a tall, tall order for sure. But I do think, you know, when you look at Vanderbilt's roster, they've been playing a little bit better recently, and I think the roster is okay, like it's fine. I don't see this being, you know, like a 3-win SEC team or something like that, like last year. So I think, you know, they need to play better defense for sure, but they're at least rounding into form on offense. Scottie Pippen Jr. has had a really good sophomore season. So, I mean, I still think, you know, the bottom of the SEC isn't really that good. You know, teams like Texas A&M and Georgia, I'm just not really convinced are much better than Vanderbilt. And so I do think that once the schedule softens up a little bit, I still think that Vanderbilt is probably going to get in the 5 or 6 win range in the SEC, just because it's not a league that's all that strong top to bottom, honestly.
No, I mean, when you look at the teams that have emerged, I mean, Arkansas has done a nice, solid job. Alabama, obviously. Kentucky by name only, but you can't overlook Kentucky per se. LSU seems to be there. Missouri is probably the second best, or you can that conversation with Alabama is the second best team from the SEC. But, you know, at the bottom, you're right. You know, there's teams there. But remember, Missouri, conference-wise, is down there with Ole Miss, Auburn, Georgia, and Vanderbilt, and here they are ranked in the top 20 in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, the middle of the league is pretty solid, and then UT at the top is pretty good. But I don't know. You know, I do think you get past the NCAA tournament teams, there's a pretty big drop-off. Like, I guess Auburn did get their top player back recently, Sharif Cooper, who's a five-star freshman point guard. You know, maybe that'll definitely help them. But even then, I don't know if they're, like, you know, are they an NIT team? Maybe, but they weren't looking like that before Cooper came back. Ole Miss has been pretty disappointing. And then the other thing is when – yeah, okay, so Vanderbilt is unlikely to beat Tennessee in either game this year, but I don't know that the SEC is very strong at, like, number two and number three. I think they're strong at, like, number six and seven, but there's just not a lot of teams. I don't know if there's any teams outside of Tennessee that you look at and just be like, hey, Vanderbilt doesn't really have a shot in that game. So I do think they could pull a surprise or two, and part of the reason for that is that they shoot so many threes and are – pretty decent at shooting from the perimeter. You know, you can have a random game where you make 16 or 17 threes against a good opponent like Alabama and end up winning that game, especially if Alabama is really cold from deep. So it gives you some variance, and that could lead to head-scratching losses for sure. Maybe they get blown out by Texas A&M or someone like that.
Right.
But that also gives you the upside to beat some of the better teams in the SEC, I think, and maybe catch them by surprise a little bit.
And we'll know that Wednesday when Texas A&M comes to town to take on Vanderbilt on January 20th. All right, before we let you go, Robbie, let everybody know what they can expect when they go to Vandy247.com.
Yeah, head on over. I've got lots of men's basketball coverage right now. Certainly Vanderbilt is starting to offer some guys for 2022 in football. And so there's been some recruiting content this week, and I will be in Knoxville tomorrow with live coverage from the Vandy UT game as well.
Be safe in your travels. Always fun having you on. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hey, definitely. Thanks a lot, Johnny.